Greetings, happy holidays, and welcome everybody to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you on this beautiful holiday edition from way too sunny Florida by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. Thank you guys so much for all the love, all the appreciation, you know, for the people who subscribed over on Patreon, the people who are just following over on Patreon, and the folks who are checking me out on social media and coming back to check out the podcast week to week. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you. I hope you have a very happy holiday. I know that holidays can be stressful for a lot of people, but hopefully this will give you a little bit of breathing room. Let somebody else be crazy for a little bit, right? And you probably have already noticed, if you're following me over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib, that I didn't stream this Monday like I usually do. And that was because I was doing a little surprise for the family. My stepdaughter was out, lives out of town. And I went to go and pick her up in a surprise drop on Monday evening. And so I had to kind of run a little subterfuge and cover my efforts. So she's staying with us for the week, and it's been great having her around. And I think that everybody's going to be, you know, everybody was significantly surprised for those who didn't know about it. It almost got spoiled, but it didn't. And thankfully, I kept up my end of the bargain. Nobody heard a peep out of me. I'm very, very sneaky. But yeah, it was great. And the wife was actually streaming during the moment. Literally, it couldn't have been better timing. As I was on my way back, people were like, "Hey man, what's going on? Why are you not streaming today?" And then she was like, "Well, should I just stream just so something's going on?" They're like, "Yeah." And like, couldn't have set this up better if I planned it myself. So as we're on our way back from the airport, we're maybe like 10 minutes away from the house. I'm like, "Oh man, guess who's streaming right now? This is going to be great." When you walk in the door behind her on the camera, it's going to be like, "What the fuck?" And it was. It was great. Make myself a little non-milk hot chocolate. Blech. I'm going to have to heat up some milk later for that. But I had a lot of milk this week, man. Dude, I don't know if you think about it, but like during the holidays is probably some of the most, like especially in the winter holidays, some of the most dairy-rich eating you're going to have. I mean, think about Thanksgiving, right? You're going to have a lot of like pies and cakes and custards and stuff like that. There's whipped cream on a bunch of shit. If you make macaroni and cheese, good Lord, look out. That's going to happen. A lot of people put milk in mashed potatoes. I do too, but I use like a lactose-free milk. But I start thinking about just how much milk goes into your system just during the holidays alone. Yeah, it's kind of no wonder people get sick. You know, I mean, you're coughing up all kinds of shit and, you know, you got that lung butter going on. And then Christmas holidays, forget about it. You know, like you're definitely during the winter holidays, you're getting lots of, there's chocolate, there's, like I said, whipped cream, there's eggnog, there's all kinds of cheese stuff. And there's so much dairy that goes into your system during the holidays. So a lot of people always worry about putting on weight during the holidays. Me, I think the fortunate thing is I haven't really lost any weight, but I haven't really gained much either. And I need to get into, you know, using the hydro that we have here. It'd be good to get my ass out there, especially now that it's cooled down a lot more. Well, let's put it this way. It's not 90 degrees in the middle of the day like it usually is during Florida summers or Florida weather period. But like if I open up the garage a little bit, hit the hydro and put on some tunes and just go for like, you know, 20 minutes, you know, a couple times a week, I'm probably sure I could lose another 15 pounds in the next 2 months. 3 months, let's say. If I could lose 15 pounds come, you know, late end of February, that'd be great. I wouldn't have to buy new jeans. I would definitely need to buy some new shirts and shit, though. And can anybody, this is a call out to everybody out there listening. If you have a line on a good pair of, like, or a good company that makes, like, a straight-legged sweatpant, because I have these ones from And One, but I cannot find them anymore. It's like the company just stopped making them. But they are 1,000 years old. They need to be replaced, and I desperately want another pair of them because they're wonderful. Like I said, they've lasted me for years. But here's a couple things I'm looking for. One, straight-legged sweats, you know, decent size range or whatever. Like I'm planning on losing some more weight this summer. I mean, this winter and going into the summer. So I'm looking for something that's between probably like a large, like probably about extra large just to be on the safe side. Don't need a double XL just yet. Thank God. So yeah, something with between like a 38 and 42 waist at the max, just so I have the stretchy pants room. If you can find something with a drawstring on the outside, all they don't put the drawstrings on the inside of the pants, and I absolutely hate that. It makes no sense to me. And then, granted, I could get somebody like a tailor to modify them to put the drawstrings on the outside, but then I got to pay a little bit extra money to do that. I'd rather not, but if I gotta, I gotta. I just hate drawstrings on the inside of anything. It feels weird and it looks bizarre. Or a good like harem pant. If you don't know a harem pant, take a look around. There's like also like a capri style pant that has like a flowing leg, which is perfect for summer if you're going to be outside, you know, doing lawn work or, you know, just even taking a nice stroll during the middle of the day or later in the afternoon before dinner. Just something like comfortable, like relaxed wear kind of clothes. Because I got jeans and shirts and stuff like that. Those kinds of things I need to buy like up front. I need to be able to put my hands on them, try them on, that kind of shit. But, you know, just like a relaxed around the house kind of pant. If I don't like it, I can give it to somebody else. I can return it, whatever. It's not a real big deal, you know. But and then you know, the other thing too about that kind of thing is like if it's just like chill around the house gear, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be serviceable. And there's a couple things that I like. I like something that's flowing and not sticking to my legs. I hate like a straight skinny jean fucking sweatpant. It feels gross. I also don't like the elastic around the ankles. You know, some people like the big wide band elastic. Some people like the little scrunchy elastic. I hate all of it. I don't like anything squeezing on my ankles. It feels weird to me. And that's why I like the harem pant, because it has like, I'll put a couple links of examples in the chat, but the ones I'm going to put into the description are definitely ones I've looked at, and people are like, they're a scam, or those don't work, but something that looks kind of like that. If you got a good bead on something like that, I'd like to know. And I'm going to try to see if I can find the N1 pants too. If I can find those, I'll just buy those myself. I don't give a shit. I'll get the strings modified and get like a new drawstring in it that's not so... I mean, they put like this weird thin little drawstring in there. I'm like, let's snap this bitch in a minute. I'm going to maybe make a drawstring out of some braided paracord or something like that and run that through there. See how that grabs you. You know? Something I can have that's going to have a little bit of, you know, a reinforced kind of quality to it. So I don't have to worry about it like snapping in half or whatever. Yeah. That's because it's one of those, I know that's a kind of a rambling kind of thing, but that's the point of the podcast, right? Just all over the place. Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier because I had a bunch of other sweats over the years, and these two have lasted me forever. I'm like, it's time to replace them. It's time to replace a lot of my clothing, actually, but, you know, still looking for those voice acting jobs, still looking for acting jobs. And this creative wall is kind of starting to break, so I'm going to be going back to doing some more artwork and just kind of rededicating myself to drawing at least one thing a day. It was, you know, the funny thing about it was, and as crazy as it sounds, it was a lot easier to keep up with that kind of shit when I was on Instagram. Because, you know, you were kind of like, you know, you had even a small audience would be like, hey, man, what's going on? What are you doing? And Blue Sky is still fairly new to most people. So it's kind of like, you know, a less crazy version of Twitter. And just not a lot of followers over there, man. There's not a lot of reach or access, and the algorithm's weird to figure out. So I'm not sure how to break that wall there when it comes to the social media as it's changed. And especially being off of Facebook and Instagram, it's definitely limited my reach. And I found that out very clearly when I was noticing that there people were like, oh, so-and-so did this week. I'm like, really? I have no idea. They're like, you're not on Facebook. I'm like, that's true. I'm not even mad at it, you know what I mean? I tell people all the time, the phone works both ways. I'm like, I can call you just as well as you could call me. I think part of that, too, is like, you know, being in people's ecosystem and reaching out to them and then realizing that very quickly they don't really do the same thing even when you're on the same platform. Like, they barely even blink in your direction. It's kind of like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to stress myself over this. If you wanted to reach out, you could. You would. So I'm not going to kill myself trying to stumble over my feet to get to you. Not that I don't care. It's exactly that. It's that I do. And because I do care, I care about me. You know? Like, I'm not going to get like, so-and-so didn't say hi for my birthday. It's going to be like, yeah, man, I got other shit going on. Whatever. You get to me when you get to me. And if you get to me and I'm still paying attention, great. If not, shit just happened and we just moved on. It's life. Probably would have taken this a lot harder if I was like 20 years younger. You know, maybe like my like late, like my early to mid 20s, I probably would have been like more bent out of shape about it. But I think around the time I started turning like 30-ish, somewhere in the last like 15, 20 years, I just kind of was like, yeah, fuck it. Everybody's got their own shit going on. Relax. As I had that conversation actually, you know, with regards to the holidays, you're talking about, you know, holiday season and you're dealing with party stuff and friends and family and whatnot, man. Like, I was actually talking to my my homie, my movie watching buddy D, and his wife P, and so we're just chilling, and we're just talking about, like, you know, how, you know, during the holidays it's crazy that, you know, it's supposed to be a time of friends and family and fellowship. You know, we're having a fun time. We're enjoying, like, you know, the sights and sounds and, you know, tastes of the season. Everybody gets a little loose, relaxes a little bit more. That's the idea, right? But so many people turn out to be like so combative during this time, and it's like, it's weird that, like, during the one time of year when you should be able to let, like, your love out, people become way more harsh and way more insulated against one another. I would say it's unusual, but let's be real. Like, we've lived on the earth long enough, and especially post-pandemic stuff, like the height of the pandemic anyway, because COVID-19 hasn't gone away. But yeah, through the pandemic and directly after there, and the couple of years after it was really all blown up, you just notice people like retreating more into themselves, but also retreating more into, like, you know, and I'm not even going to go to the phones, just retreating into a more passive stance when it comes to being around people. And I've never really been that way. I don't function well when I'm locked in a room, which is weird to say. And I'm locked in my office right now doing the podcast. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't like to just be insulated from society. It bothers me, you know? And I don't like being locked in the house. I don't like staying in one spot. The pandemic was some of the worst times of my life. Like, and it was not because of it was because of the sickness and the disease and the death and the misinformation and all the craziness around it. But a big chunk of that was just being locked in the house and not being isolated from people. I despise that. And we're talking about the holidays, and I'm like, you know, this is the one time of year, you know, we're all talking, we're basically sharing the same sentiment. This is the one time of year when people should try to, like, put their shit aside and just come together and just chill and be, and they just refuse to. It's weird. I don't get it. And I'm just going to say, like, this Christmas Eve, if you get a chance, this Christmas Eve, this holiday season in general, if you get a chance to, like, mend a broken bridge, or at least, like, extend an olive branch, you know, whatever, to somebody, to open up a little bit more to somebody you care about, to tell them something you haven't meant to tell them for a while, and just, you know, express your true feelings, this is the time to do it. I mean, any time is the right time, as far as I'm concerned. Like, when the mood strikes you should probably do it then, but, you know, maybe make that a gift for somebody. Like, hey, man, I know we don't really talk a lot, but I wanted to say blah, 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 blah thing to you. And if you can make it positive, that's great. That'd be the great thing to do. If it does end up having to be somebody you have to cut off for your piece, I mean, give that gift to yourself, I guess. But, you know, talk to somebody, though. See somebody face to face if you can, and, you know, say words to them. I love doing that. It's one of my favorite things I used to do all the time when I was younger, is host, like, little house parties and gatherings. Nothing major, maybe like 10, 12 people. Just kicking it in a little fucking one-bedroom apartment, having a good time. I miss doing that. So I say, yeah, when you get around the friends and family, you know what I mean? Like, talk, share, you know, engage with one another, and then try to leave on a fairly decent note. That's enough crazy shit in the world as it is, right? So, like, let's try to make it a little bit nicer this holiday. And, I mean, that includes when you're going out in public, too. Because, good Lord, the amount of people we've seen just, like, who just have, like, zero spatial awareness and just, like, la-di-da-di and just stumble into somebody without even thinking. You're like, how are you people? You know what I mean? Like, how do you have zero awareness of what's going on around you? Like, think about it a little bit. I don't know. I think it's just because people have not, they're not, I don't think they're intending to, but, like, we've been driven into a more selfish route. You know, the news is horrible. It feels like the world's falling apart every other week. And so it's kind of tough, you know what I mean? You know, speaking of the news, let's just laugh at some of these stupid people. You know, I mean, I know you guys heard all the Trump news every week. It's like, I really could do a completely separate, purely political podcast on this guy and never run out of content. It's crazy. He's going to add his name to the Kennedy Center. Just like changing the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War, which was an illegal move, by the way. I don't know how they're going to get away with this shit. I mean, I got an idea how they're going to get away with it. I just don't know exactly which one of these stupid ideas they're going to pick. It's either going to be like they're going to have like their cronies in Congress and push it through, or they'll have the Supreme Court like try to bend over backwards to kiss his ass, to do whatever he wants. And that's never a good feeling, but I guess, I mean, on top of that, keep on fucking with like Venezuelan oil boats and stuff like that. It's like, dude, first they were going after drug dealers in these little fucking speed boats. And I mean, it'd be one thing if you saw like a cigarette boat or something like that, just hauling ass to get to this, get to like southern Florida. But a lot of these are just like little, they look a little fishing, like a John boat. It's a little, four-seater fishing boat, and they're like, we're blowing them up. I'm like, what the fuck? Now they're going after oil tankers. It won't be long before like some Venezuelan like tanking company has like a partnership with like one of our own, like a silent or secret or whatever, like just an unknown partnership with one of our allies that provides us oil, and we go fucking with their oil, and they're like, oh, this was gonna be for you, but now. Then we'll have a gasoline shortage. I love how they keep trying to blame shit on Biden and Obama. I'm like, those dudes have been out of power for a hot minute now. This is your problem now. I figure they'll try to find some way to blame that on Obama too, or on Biden more specifically. Yeah, and they just keep dodging. Anytime they do some fucking wild shit, they dodge, they cover up the quote unquote release of the Epstein files. Sure. I've told people before, I'm like, I know that they're gonna redact the shit out of them. That's why it's taken so long. They keep running out of Sharpies. And then here's the other thing. This is how stupid these people are. They were using like programs like Adobe Acrobat to put black bars over text. So all people were doing was just opening the file in Acrobat Reader, and then they were just copy and pasting the actual text because it was just layered over with a black filter, essentially. And so they just pulled the text out and you could just read it. I'm like, these have got to be the absolute dumbest people on the planet. And we just see evidence of it everywhere we go. It's so fucking funny. I don't know how you get to be this stupid and get to keep your job. I've been bad at jobs before. And I'm quite certain in the future I'll be bad at a job again. Some would say I'm actually bad at this job, like streaming and podcasting, but who knows? But I mean, I don't, if I was that bad, I would think that somebody at some point would be like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Get off the air or whatever. You're not good at this. I haven't really had that before. Had some racist people, but I haven't really had anybody say, I mean, you're awful at this. You should definitely quit. I don't know. Like I just and now you're starting to see the fallout too, because people are so stupid and they've done so much crazy shit that like nobody can justify it anymore. Like now they're finally talking about, no, they're talking about it. I don't know if they're going to actually do shit. They're talking about going after Pam Bondi. Dan Bongino stepped down from the FBI. He's leaving in like a couple of weeks. Marjorie Taylor Greene quit. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm waiting for Scott Bessent to get run out of there. Stephen Miller's probably going to stay because he's one of the diehard faithful. His fucking mega mind looking ass at that giant waterhead and his stupid wife, Kate Miller, man. Ugh. A more disgusting couple you'd be hard pressed to find. Not in terms of look, just in terms of like odious behavior. Just as being shitty, gross human beings, you'd struggle to find a worse couple in politics or just in the public eye in general. I just think about that now. Like she's even getting railroaded too, like Katie Miller, because they're like, you dig back in her past, like she's always been a power hungry heifer, so nobody really likes her. Everybody just kind of like either stays out of her way, or they involve themselves with her just enough to get what they need from her, but stay like keep her at arm's length so that they can't be infected by her presence. I just don't get it. I don't. JD Vance's family is falling apart. I'm waiting for next. Like probably sometime in the next like 6 months, Usha Vance is gonna file for divorce. And then the rumors always about like Erica Kirk and JD Vance getting together are hilarious to me, because that was one of the big things. They're like, oh, nobody in the MAGA camp is going to accept a vice president with a brown wife and half brown kids. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate, probably. As unfortunate and ugly as that sentiment is, obviously, but like that's the way they're going to do it. And Usha probably needs to get gone before then. I hope she didn't sign a prenup. I mean, get that fool for everything you can get, whatever it is, all this hillbilly elegy money for like the fucking handful of racist idiots that read his book. That guy's a mystery to me. And it's funny, I was talking to my wife about it the other day. Like, where are these people gone? You don't hear from JD Vance much anymore. You don't hear much from some of the other mouthpieces that were in like LinkedIn with Trump. You know what I mean? Where's Dr. Mehmet Oz? Where's Jeanine Pirro? You know, you have to hear from Pam Bondi and from Caroline Leavitt because he's propped them up as actual mouthpieces. But where are the rest of these people who was talking all this shit? Now that the Epstein files are coming out, people are finally figuring out how to redact them, unredact them on their own because they did such a piss poor job of scrubbing them. I just want to see when it all falls apart. I want to see what happens. Like, at this point, it's kind of interesting because anybody you know who's still caping for this administration is definitely has some shitty politics they just didn't want to put out there, which means they probably also harbor some really shitty beliefs, you know, personally. You know, I mean, about women, about LGBTQ people, about, you know, minorities, like ethnic minorities and whatnot. Yeah, about immigration, they probably have some really shitty politics, and that's why they're like, I don't like to talk politics. Like, you just don't like to be proven wrong. What the problem is that you have really shitty politics and really shitty beliefs, and you don't want them exposed, and you don't want anybody to shine a light on a lot of, not even just how morally reprehensible it is, but how statistically wrong most of what you think is. Like, statistically and factually incorrect your stuff is, but you can't handle that. You can't handle the truth, kind of shit. But we are finding out that it's very expensive for people to do that kind of fuck around, find out shit when it comes to racism in particular. There's a dude here in Clay County actually is gonna find out real fast. So this is actually came to light this morning. He's a school board member. I'm gonna put his name out there because it's on the internet, so who gives a shit? His name is Robert Alvero. From the District 2 in Clay County, posted a video in which he said that 80% of his experience with African Americans, they had proven to be rude, nasty, and problematic. And he hired an attorney because he put the video out on Facebook or whatever. I think it was a Facebook or on Facebook, Twitter, or something. And then he took it down. But you know, the internet, they caught that shit real quick. And then his attorney that he hired says that any retaliation would revoke his free speech rights. And it's like, I don't think you know how this works. Which makes me wonder if this dude, Anthony Sabatini, is the attorney's name. that I think that sometimes these kind of attorneys, they look for somebody who's this stupid and this racist, and they go, oh no, you've totally got a case, buddy. We can get you out of this. Knowing full well that these people are going to get stomped in the courts, but they're going to get paid for it. That's why lawyers are parasites, in my personal opinion. Almost every lawyer to a person is a fucking parasite. But, you know, they're unfortunately necessary in today's society. But yeah, I think that that might be part of the grift too. They're like, look, if these guys are going to be racist assholes, I should at least make them broke racist assholes. Let's take all their fucking bread. Which, in a weird way, I kind of respect it. You know what I mean? Like, you almost got to like somebody who's willing to, like, hey, I'll defend the scumbag because he's going to pay me a couple $100,000. He's going to put, like, a third mortgage on his house. You know what I mean? And by the end of this thing, he's going to be doing some spurious deeds in the alleyways of Jacksonville to help cover what little bit of mortgage he's got. But I don't know. That'd be hilarious if that was the case. That's like the new wave of that's the new wave of like of racial justice in America. Is a bunch of like willing to be scumbag lawyers who take on scumbag clients and then just empty their coffers until they're fucking destitute. Like, costs a lot of money to suck this hard, doesn't it? But yeah, so this dude said if he gets punished in any way, he's going to turn back and sue his employers. Now, the funky thing about this thing is that this dude works for the Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Department and also for the Florida State Guard. So they've already launched investigations into his comments and his personal conduct. JFRD has actually put him on administrative leave. On administrative duty, sorry. So he's not allowed to actually do his job. They basically let this dude pushing pencils. Like, you're not about to make problems for us. And so his attorney's like, if they got problems with him, you know, they're going to suffer the wrath of lawsuits and stuff like that. And I'm like, we are the Jacksonville Fire Department. We will crush this nigga with both feet. Trust me when I say if we land on him, he's not getting back up. But yeah, the Clay County Board School Board Chair, her name's Erin Skipper, refers back to a statement that she let out on Sunday, which is, this is one of those other things too. Clay County is one of the most red counties in this northeastern area. It's a red county in a red area of a red state. And you could tell like how obtuse this is, because they're like, there's some shit that you could probably like dance your way around, but they're like, this one, the stuff this guy said was so like racially densely charged that they're like, we can't touch this. This is a radioactive isotope of a person. If we get close enough to this dude, he's going to irradiate us too. So they give the plaintiff, platitudes. The remarks do not reflect the values of our school district and are unacceptable. That's like, come on, man. Like, just basically saying, like, we just don't think that was very cool of you is about the most bitch-ass stance you could take. You should be like, well, because we have a diverse, multicultural school district here, these kinds of statements and commentary to be held as personal beliefs, and then not only that, but to be projected out into the social media space is highly unacceptable. It's reprehensible and hurtful to the community, and Mr. Alvaro will be removed from duty immediately, pending a review of his actions and further comments. We don't want to inflame tensions anymore. You could put it like that too. We don't want to inflame any tensions within the community. However, we do not want to violate, Mr. Alvaro's civil rights and personal First Amendment speech freedoms. We think it's in the best interest of all parties involved that he be removed from duty until such time as we can evaluate the comments in their entirety and see a full investigation done. But we as an entity do not stand for this sort of speech or behavior. You know, they're basically saying, we don't like this shit. We can't fire a dude right out, just outright. But we can make it real tough for you to live. You know what I mean? And we can make you squirm enough that you have to squirm out from underneath us. I mean, this is a school board, dog. Like, good luck. Good luck. And I mean that very, very sarcastically. I hope this guy seriously gets slammed for it. Because I don't think you should be able to just crawl back into your free speech bubble and be like, base, I can say whatever shitty thing I want because free speech. I'm like, you can. Like, you can come up to me and call me outside of my name or something like that, or say something wild about my friends or my family. And you're totally allowed to do that. But you're not free for the consequences of me sticking my foot up your ass. You don't get to dodge that one. That one's going to be all you, baby. You're going to take this L. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is like when we think about that kind of stuff, is like so many people have been empowered to do shitty things. That's why you saw that Netflix merger thing that was supposed to happen with WB. It looks like it might fall apart, but that's only because of this. The guy who owns Paramount, Larry Ellison, says that he's going to commit $40.4 billion of his own equity and funds to close a deal to purchase Warner Brothers Discovery for Paramount instead of Netflix. And I think the biggest issue that we're going to have is, like, because there's so much money infused in, politics and also through entertainment and other corporations and they've infused corporate money into political spaces. These politicians and whatnot that are beholden to these folks are going to make deals and make moves that are going to benefit, you know, their benefactors, I guess, the best way to put it. So they're giving a little give back. The problem ends up being that when it comes to legacy media, like we've seen what's happened with Disney and CBS. Like, my wife and I canceled our Disney Plus subscriptions that week when they came after Jimmy Kimmel. Now, Kimmel, I don't know what his plan was. Were it me, I would not want to go back to the place that actually fired me and put me in such a position. Stephen Colbert is smart. He's riding his contract out. I can't wait to see what he's got coming up next. Because whatever he does, I'm almost positive is going to be wildly successful once he's cleared himself from underneath the thumb of CBS. But I think that's one of those things where, like, you watch people get into positions of power and they do the evil shit they do so they can keep the power. It's not because they really, I don't think it's necessarily because they really believe half the shit they say. You know what I mean? I think a lot of it is just the money's good and it's there. So why don't we take advantage of it? You know what I mean? It's gross. It's a disgusting way to behave, but it's definitely a way to behave. At the very least, you could say that. I don't approve of it, though. Personally, I'm going to say I don't approve of it. But enough of that stuff. And this is going to be a slightly shorter episode because there's things I want to accomplish and get done before we go to visit with our friends for our Christmas Eve hangout kind of thing. But yeah, I want to try to stream. I'm going to attempt to stream at least a little bit this afternoon. So I don't know if you'll hear this before that happens, but if you do, you're lucky. If you don't, well, hopefully you didn't miss it. Over on twitch.tv/linkib. Links are in the description of the podcast. I'm going to check out this, okay, let me get my breath ready for this. Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade Demo. So this is the remake version of Final Fantasy VII that I've been saying is very much like too much Devil May Cry in my Final Fantasy. I don't really care for a lot of the action platforming RPG stuff. There's only been a handful of ones that I think have done it right. I think the Tales series did a really great job right up until Tales of, is it Zillia? It was one of these ones that came out recently, and Tales of Arise, which I tried playing and I just could not. It just, none of the game mechanics bored me, and like the characters just, there's something about them that felt very unappealing. You know what I mean? Like, they're interesting ideas, but the character design, the way they were carried off, and their act just felt very dry. And I feel like the older games in the Tales franchise were a little bit more robust and fun. Like the arena-style combat, the puzzling aspects of stuff. Not even platforming, just puzzling was really cool. And the expansiveness of the world made it more interesting. And I mean, I've played Final Fantasy VII for a decent degree. Still going back through it slowly, bit by bit, the classic 1997 release. But I figured I'd give this a shot and let you guys know what my thoughts are. And if I get around to that today, great. If not, it'll probably be Friday. We'll just have to wait and see. But there's so much stuff out there, it's like kind of hard to know what's what and what to play and what not to. So I'm kind of struggling through that right now. I did pick up Baldur's Gate 3 again, and I played for a little bit the other day. I was kind of lost, and just kind of scrambling for what to do, where to go. I'm like, you know what, we'll figure it out later. Plus, there's a bunch of, like, character interactions that I want to, like, go back and revisit, and I think if I do that, I might refresh my love for the game, which means that if I get into it, I'll hopefully be able to finish it before it hits its 3-year anniversary next year in August or June or whatever the fuck it was when it came out on Xbox. We'll see. We'll see. Oh, I wanted to tell you, like I said, I was talking about my movie watching buddy D. And so we were kicking it last night. And the night before that, you know, obviously went to go and visit Monday because, you know, just brought the stepdaughter in. We ran over like, hey, how's it going? Hung out for a while, drinking and talking and whatnot. And then Tuesday, like when I went in there Monday, we're like, we hadn't picked a movie. And we usually don't. Like, sometimes we'll pick something like a day or two ahead of time. Most of the time, it'll just be like, we just show up and be like, want to watch this?
Yeah.
And then just sit down and watch. And so we decided to watch a movie called Troll 2. This is a Norwegian film. It's a sequel to the original film Troll, which honestly I felt was, as far as like a creature flick goes, there was enough that was in the original Troll film that I was like, this is actually kind of fun. You know, it felt like summer blockbuster kind of thing to watch. And I'm like, I can dig this. Troll 2 is not that. Troll 2 literally kills itself pretty early on. And I'm not going to spoil this for you. If you do want to watch it, you can. You know what? Maybe I should just mark a spoiler here. That's probably a good idea. I'm just going to mark this as a spoiler episode. So if anybody who listens to this, they'll know. And I'll just go ahead and start right now. Pretty much Troll 2 shoots itself in the foot in the first like 10 minutes or so. They do a conceit that kind of lets you know that this character is about to bite the dust. And like I said, I can spoil this. I kind of don't want to because I really hate spoilers. But there's a thing that's very obvious at the very beginning of the film, and they kind of hammer it back home like a couple times throughout the film that this person's gonna die. And you see it and you're like, well, shit. And then, of course, you know, they do two of them. One of them was the black dude dies first. And my buddy's awesome. He goes, man, even Norwegian niggas gotta die first in the movies. And I'm dying. We're fucking laughing so hard. Because the way they kill him off was really like you could see it coming, but then the way it was cut together was so it wasn't even tongue in cheek. It was like tongue in forehead, how like obvious they were that they were digging Hollywood tropes up and slamming them into this movie. Like the two best friends getting to like give like a very like loving stare to each other's eyes goodbye before one of them spirals out of control and explodes. You're like, come on, dude. Like, we've seen this before. Everybody has watched the Fast and Furious films. Don't do this. Don't do this. And then the other guy dies in such a stupid fashion. We're like, dude, if you had taken as much time to yell at each other back and forth, you could have done one extra little thing and dude could have lived. There's so many other ways that it could have ended on a much more logical, you know, closing point than it actually did, that we were both at the end, we're just like, really, like, this doesn't feel good. This feels dumb. It feels like it didn't invest enough into respecting the viewer's time. And then they had the audacity to tease a third iteration. No, absolutely not. One of the things we both pointed out was that there's a point in the movie where they're like, everybody loves a good sequel. And we're like, yeah, emphasis on good. Like, The Empire Strikes Back was clearly a superior, like a fantastic sequel to A New Hope. Anybody who argues otherwise is a fool or didn't watch it. Like, even if it is a series of like really down endings, like the movie Clerks protests, it's technically, in terms of story and in terms of pacing and drama, it's a great sequel. Not even a good sequel, it's a fantastic sequel to an already intriguing and compelling first movie. This was not that. And by saying that line, it kind of like put the last nail in the coffin for us. We're like, well, we're checked out. Let's just see what other dumb shit happens during this movie. And boy, was there a lot of it. There's just a lot of really stupid decisions. And I know a lot of it was done for cinematic effect, but I've found that like I've enjoyed a movie more when it wasn't as cinematically like intriguing to watch. The pyrotechnics and special effects don't impress me as much as like a well thought out approach to a story, you know? Like having a well thought out and well planned approach that respects the viewer's intellect and makes sense to them. I find that even if it's not as visually entertaining sometimes, it can be even more engaging because it respects my time and my agency and my intelligence as a viewer. And this did not do that at all. It was but ugly. Avoid Troll 2. I mean, let's put it this way. You're going to watch it and you're going to laugh your ass off at all how stupid it is. But if you're looking for an engaging film, just know that this ain't that. It's just going to blow an hour and 45 minutes of your day. You could literally read a book instead. And that's another thing, too, about the Troll movies. Like, the first film seemed to kind of make the troll almost more of like a myth, and kind of play more into like how secretive and like kind of relegated to history the trolls were and their mythology and their lore in this area of the world. Troll 2 kind of hits you over the head with trolls are here and trolls are this and trolls are good and trolls are that. Like, for the first, like, 10 minutes, it's like trolls, 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 trolls. And I'm like, I get it. It's literally called Troll 2. I know this movie's about a troll. I seen the first one. That's why I'm here now. I understand that trolls are a big part of this story. We don't have, you know what? Go ahead, tell your story. Just tell a story. Go ahead. By the time you get, by the time you heard enough about trolls, you're like, just shoot this motherfucker already. You're so over it. By the time you finally get to doing things, you're like, eh, all right, whatever, who cares? And then there's another film that I watched. I watched this by myself. It's probably for the better. And this film came out, and it's supposedly, like, critically acclaimed and well-reviewed, allegedly. I don't know who's doing it, but, oh, my God. So, I need to check this real quick before I speak on this, because there's something, there's, like, the you know, they do the trailer on Netflix. I mean, most of the trailers are really horribly done anyway. But they put a trailer together for Netflix, and they were talking about the other film credits that the director of this movie, House of Dynamite, had under their belt. So the director is a lady by the name of Kathleen Bigelow. And one of the things they were touting was, like, her work in the movie Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker. If you've never seen The Hurt Locker, if you're a fan of Jeremy Renner, you might like it. It's kind of a boring ass movie, for being quite honest. There's, like, a couple of interesting moments, but overall it's about as dry as 2 day old toast. And I couldn't respect it, because one of the things my mom pointed out to me that I had noticed but I hadn't really paid attention to was, I didn't think about it actually on the surface. I was just kind of like, this is just a drag. This movie's just, it's so dry and it feels so soulless. But I guess spoilers for, like, a fucking 12-year-old movie. Jeremy Renner plays a bomb disposal expert, and he survives a bunch of crazy shit, and then he comes back to the States, and he can't function because he has PTSD and all that shit. So instead of trying to go through, like, you know, really, like, struggle through mental health services or do anything else, they just make him go, like, I'm going to go back to war. Leaves his wife and kid behind, just goes back to war. Which, I mean, I'm sure it does happen. But, you know, it was a pretty bleak and just kind of, like, blah ending. And then, of course, the writer is this guy, Noah Oppenheim. And, boy, let's talk about these credits. He wrote The Maze Runner. He worked on the Divergent series. I don't know, man. I just don't know. I would rather have him as a producer. He's produced some fairly interesting stuff, it looks like. But yeah, just as a writer, nah, my guy. Yeah, the Divergent series, Allegiant, Maze Runner, House of Dynamite. Ugh, God. He's working on an untitled romantic thriller with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, and then an untitled Jack Ryan project. Oh, that's going to be a banger. By the way, this movie, as in and of itself, is, like, about a 6.5 on, like, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes. It's rated very middle of the road. That, I feel like, is being just about accurate. If I was going to rate this film on a scale of 10 stars, even giving, like, quarter and half point stars, I would say this is probably, like, a solid 6. And I'll tell you why, because I am going to spoil the fuck out of this movie, because I don't think anybody should watch it. You shouldn't have to suffer what I went through. Plus, here's the other thing. For it to be almost two hours long, if I were watching this film in the theater and I paid money to go see this, we would have a fucking fight. So the premise of this film, we're going to call it film, we're using that term fairly loosely, is that on a typical day in Washington, D.C., the effective military command and the, you know, the executive branch and all this stuff are going about their day, and then an unprecedented and untraceable missile launch occurs in the South Pacific, and it seems to be tracking towards the Midwest of the United States. And the idea is that they're trying to follow this thing and decide like how to deal with this ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, for those of you who don't know that term. And they want to shoot this thing down. They want to figure out a way to, like, you know, evacuate cities or mitigate the damage as much as possible. And everybody kind of like stumbles and staggers all the way through this process. The only people who seem to do anything that is of any real import, and they tried their best and they couldn't do much after that, was like the initial strike team. Everybody else just kind of was like, until the last possible second. And so, I guess in like the way it works, it breaks it up into three acts. In the first act, which is the longest of the three, you kind of get the broad strokes of the story, and then it cuts, and it looks like it's going to switch positions and tell the story from another perspective, which it does. It tells it from the perspective of like a White House aide and then like another chief of staff. But they basically just are interstitially cutting in new footage to the story you just watched for like 45, 50 minutes. And then it disrespects the fuck out of your time and your intelligence by making you watch the same movie, just in shorter versions, two more times, only to get absolutely no resolution at the end. Spoiler alert. You never find out what happens to this missile. You don't know if it was an actual missile. You don't know if it was really like 10 missiles all like clustered together into one and then it splits apart. You don't know if it hits the ground, if it hits like Lake Michigan because it's aiming at Chicago. You don't know if it was just some AI hacker kind of thing because they throw that in there too. Like, oh, there's been, you know, AI deepfake stuff that's popped up on the internet, and somehow people are using this technology to hack systems and whatnot. So it looks like there's like maybe a fighter jet intercepting United States airspace, or looks like there might be a missile launch, but there's really nothing there. And so they kind of teased that possibility, but then they gave you nothing at the end. You see some dude falling down crying because he thinks his hometown got shot with a missile. You see people getting evacuated into a bunker, but you have no idea that anything happened. And you're like, what the fuck was this? I spent 2 hours, and you know what? I gotta see how much time I actually spent. Yeah, I was right. It felt like five, but I spent like 2 hours watching this fucking film. The first half basically is like the best part of it because there's actually some tension. There's like some dramatic moments that you're like, ooh, this could be really good. And then it just kind of, and this is one of the reasons why I hate like review sites and stuff like that. Because if you look at review sites, this movie's better than it is. Like Rotten Tomatoes, I know, is an aggregation site. So if you don't know what that means, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't necessarily review shit on their own. By themselves, usually they grab a bunch of different votes from a bunch of different other sources, put them all together, and try to give you like the raw average score. A lot of other places do that too, like Metacritic and whatnot. Very few of them track like the views from their actual users as the primary source of input. Most of it is based off of like critical data that's provided by other sources. So Rotten Tomatoes gives this turd of a film a 77%. Metacritic does 75%. Like I said, IMDb might be the most honest because I think they're the ones that are more likely to, like, they lean more towards a user-driven experience, which is not 100%. All of their reviews, but it's a significant enough chunk that it kind of balances out some of the trash. But they give it a 6.4, which I think is incredibly generous. It only deserves a 6 for the storytelling it did in the first like 45 minutes. After that, this movie totally disrespects your time. And it also disrespects storytelling convention in general by telling you nothing at the end. Again, it's like another hand job of a movie. It's just like, really? All this? Just like, you know, like a fucking, I'm being crass, but I mean, it's like that like teenage fumbling around awkward prom sex that never goes anywhere and is usually wholly unfulfilling. That's what these two movies were. I'm like, yeah, I could have done without this. I'd have rather just had a V8 and a nap. This is fucking stupid. So again, avoid House of Dynamite and avoid Troll 2. Troll 2 at least is kind of funny, but they were just not great. And you'll be better served if you don't watch either of those films. So 20 minutes on two terrible films is more than enough time, I think. Let's talk about some football. Yeah, this is going to be kind of a thin week for football just because it's the holidays. We're coming up on the new year. There's plenty of other stuff to be out there looking for and watching and stuff like that. But yeah, you definitely want to make sure you keep your P's and Q's on you this week. Because I told you guys last week, I was rooting for my picks to be wrong. And boy, was I right about how wrong I wanted them to be. Let's start it off like this. Everybody won last week. It was fantastic. They were all scary games, but everybody won last week. First off, you got Pittsburgh versus Detroit taking the Lions. I mean, I thought that the Lions were not going to give them as much of a problem as they did. I thought it would be close. But 29-24 was not what I was expecting. I was certain that that game was going to be, you know, I was certain that game was going to be close. I mentioned that last week, but I didn't think it was going to be down to the wire, and it really was. And they all kind of did for us to a certain extent, with the exception of like the three I was watching. Jacksonville versus Denver was a game that they should have won again pretty handily. People were saying that Denver is going to be like one of the teams to beat. They were, and Jacksonville beat their ass. 34-20. Again, penalties are always a problem. You know the refs are going to be against you, Jacksonville. You got to mind your hands. You got to mind your field positioning. They're never going to cut you a little bit of slack. They're always going to try to find a way to undermine your success. So don't give them any more reasons, damn it. Pay attention to what you're doing on the field. You guys are a great team. You have world-class potential. You're right here knocking on the door. And as of this recording, you are in the playoffs, thanks to the Colts fucking up. But still, you earned the right to be here in the first place, to be in the mention. So show them you belong here by playing some world-class football. Don't let them frustrate you. Don't let them get you to act out of pocket. You know what I mean? Don't do any wild and crazy stuff that's going to endanger yourselves or the team as a whole in its standing. Just play solid, head down, gridiron, 8 yards at a time football. That's it. That's all you got to do. Chicago, same story. Another scary game. Jacksonville comes out with the 34-20 win. Chicago comes out with a 22-16 win in overtime that I would never have seen coming. Literally looked like a Hollywood film script. And again, like I said, I think that there's a script where they're like, we want this team to win. We want this team to be the thing. And I think that script started out early on this year. But I think at about week 8, Week 10, somewhere in there between week 8 and week 10, they're like, we can't stop these people. They're just going to do whatever it is they're going to do. And we've set up other teams that were not going to be nearly as impressive as they could have been or should have been. And now we're paying the cost for trying to engineer our way around it. And now they're fucked. They're fucked because, you know, you got teams like, again, like Pittsburgh, Chicago, Jacksonville, who are coming out from basically relatively unknown status. Like the last time I think Chicago was even close to the playoffs would have been 2018. Jacksonville was close to the playoffs back in 2022. I don't think the Steelers have had a playoff berth for at least like 8-9 years. So this is one of those times they're just coming out of oblivion, basically, like football purgatory, to stand up and show them, hey, man, we deserve to be here, and y'all need to know our names. So I'm excited. And to that end, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Cleveland Browns. Now, all these Johns, I heard that the other day. I didn't know Pittsburgh people said that. People from Philadelphia said that. Johns, I almost died laughing when I heard them say that out loud. But all of these are Sunday games. And so the Steelers versus the Browns and the Jaguars versus the Colts are both happening at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard on two different channels, CBX and Fox. So I'm going to be watching the Jaguars game. I think Pittsburgh's going to easily handle the Browns. I don't really see Pittsburgh having much of a struggle with Cleveland. And the fact that Cleveland's showing up, I mean, Pittsburgh is probably going to be fine no matter what happens. Win, lose, or draw with this game, but you definitely want to see them smack the Browns down and be like, why are we even bothering, right? The games to watch this week, as far as I'm concerned, are the Jaguars and the Bears. Here's the reason why. Last week, in order for the Jaguars to get into their spot, the Colts had to lose to the San Francisco 49ers, which is what happened. Now those two teams are split up to face off against two of the top-ranked teams in their divisions, the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two of the best teams in football, whether you believe it or not, the numbers tell a different story. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, standing at 11-4, are 5-2 on away games. The Chicago Bears at 11-4 are 5-3 in away games, right? So they're being hosted by the San Francisco 49ers. They have to beat the 49ers just because they need to keep their standing. They need to keep their dominance asserted, right? It's not necessarily for a divisional thing. They're going to the playoffs no matter what it looks like. So, I mean, this is basically their pregame for the playoffs. Same thing with the Jaguars and the Colts. But the issue that we have with the Jaguars and the Colts is the Colts lost to get knocked out of playoff contention already. And the Jaguars have already beaten the pants off him once before when they met him about three weeks back, 36-19. So they've already shown that they can beat the Colts once. To lose to them now when you're already up in the playoff contention would just be a soul crusher. So Jacksonville and Chicago, while everybody definitely needs to win their games, Jacksonville and Chicago definitely have a vested interest in making sure that they win. They do not want to walk away from these games with an L on their record, because at that point, they basically kind of invalidated their presence in the playoffs. You get what I'm saying? Like, you went and did all this work to show people you belonged here, and then you get to these two teams that are getting dusted out of the playoffs, and you lose to them like the very day after, like the very like next game after you prove that you're supposed to be here. You lose to the losers? Miss me with all that shit. Especially for Jacksonville. Chicago is still going to be a tough fight, but I feel like they've got a better chance at like escaping scrutiny than Jacksonville does. Because at least the 49ers are a solid team. You know, you play in the Colts, they're not bad, but it's at 8-7 and you're 11-4 and you've beaten them once already and they just lost to give you the playoff spot and you're going to be... No. You have to go into Indianapolis and show them what's what. That's my picks for the week. Everybody takes a dub this coming week. It's a holiday, let's say it's a Christmas miracle. And this Sunday coming up is going to be some very interesting football indeed. But that is going to do it for this episode of the Wandering One podcast. Season's greetings, everyone. Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, if you celebrate, I hope you have a very merry one. Spend some time with your friends and family if you're able to. And then outside of that, just keep your eyes and ears peeled. I'm going to do my best to make sure I get everything sorted so that I have a New Year's Eve episode ready for you on next week, Wednesday. And in the meantime, in between time, you guys be good at it. Drive safe, travel safe if you have to be out traveling. Drive safe, don't drink and drive, all that jazz. Use AAA to get yourself home. Drink a little bit of water, show a little bit of love. I'll catch you ramblers a little further on down the line. Peace, and see you next week.